Hello again, and welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin Walter. I am your host. True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington, as I'm sure you're used to hearing. Coins Plus is a full-service rare coin and precious metals broker, dealer, and depository service. We've been in business for 27 years or something like that. 26, who cares? Enough. Our motto is honesty, integrity, and professionalism in every transaction, and that's actually important to us. We believe in what we do. We're committed to what we do. We want to be the best. We strive for excellence in what we do. And we offer the highest rated privately held depository service in the Western United States. I can tell you that if you have not been here, you probably don't fully comprehend the quality and magnitude of our facility. It's extremely nice. It's built from the ground up. It's a massive brick, 12,000 square foot facility that we have. Again, like I said, it's solid brick. There's key areas that the glass, if you will, is bulletin board resistant polycarbonate. We have layers of corridors within the building, but it's extremely nice. You don't feel like you're in a police station. Or jail, if you've been to jail, it's not like that. I hope you haven't. I was long ago when I was a youngster. And I had the privilege. Plus, my dad was a bellboy, so I used to get to go hang out in jail and help him deal with people there. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. It's not like that. It's very nice. We really tried hard, and it's so cool how I got a vision about the building before things came together. A beautiful vision God gave me of looking at it right now. And I hadn't even, I just kind of started in the coin stuff, and it stuck with me, and it was more symbolic, and eventually opportunity arose. We were inside Powder's Jewelry, which is the longest-standing private family-owned jewelry store in Spokane. We were in there for about, 9 years or something. But in about 7 years, about 6 years, I was able to acquire the property right on Division Street. It's the highest traffic count in Spokane County, about 50,000 cars a day. And it was as I was looking really hard for a property, and I met a realtor that I liked, commercial, which is a plus, because commercial realtors are generally very, very arrogant. They don't like working over about 30 hours a week. Somehow they make a ton of dough, and they just don't do the best job. And I found a guy I really liked. He was kind of at the peak of his career. And then, shortly after that, this opportunity came up, which was right across the parking lot where we were. It's just perfect. It was perfect timing, perfect location. God was so good to us. Every morning before work, my wife and I would pray about our lives and our business, and every night before bed, of course, we'd pray. And God honors that, folks. He really does. And I'm not telling you that I haven't had, times where I've broken from that. We just went through a mild spiritual attack here a while ago with this 71-year-old guy who's with Sorensen and from town and came in and was supposed to help him out and, took a lot of misappropriating things, and there's no doubt it's a spiritual attack. I've been kind of looking at the police on that, and a lot of that had to do with us putting our guard down. That's just the nature of our beast. Ideal and extreme qualities of metal. sales and clients. Really high volume, high dollar amount. We specialize in building portfolios. A lot of people, I'm going to tell you straight up right now, go with your gut. So many people are being tossed to and fro, as James says. Back and forth. And I'm telling you, the bottom line is, you know what's right. And what's interesting is, as if you are a believer, you know that you need to get out of man's paper system. Calling it paper now is an answer. But one thing I can't stand, I'm an old bugger, 56, I feel old. One thing I can't stand is all these companies are like, well, can we just email you the bill? And I'm like, no, we like physical bills, not old school. We want paper. And then they're all shocked, you know, well, everyone else wants us to email it. Well, then what do we do? Take the email, print it up, make paper. I mean, it's just a pass on the buck thing, you know? And so when your financial well-being, I talked to a girl yesterday for quite a while, they have a substantial amount of money, and they've put too much of it. If you've listened to me over the years, I'm going to try to not get too hyper-technical here. They put too much of it into, first of all, annuities. Why? Well, her husband's friend is a, quote, she said, financial advisor. So I asked questions, what is he selling? Oh, he works for Allstate, okay? Allstate is an old insurance company that's actually been through, like, 8 separate ownerships. It's been insolvent 2 or 3 times. It's been owned by Sears. It's a joke. They keep the name because, back in the day, it was a good name. And it's gone now. It's done. And so what happens with these guys is they go out, you take a 2-day class, and then you go and you pass it. 1 or 2 tests. I mean, it's a joke. And then all of a sudden, you're a financial advisor. No, you're actually not. You're just selling insurance-based products that, you know, they call investments, but the granddaddy is always, it's always some form of an annuity. Folks, annuities, the reason that annuities go away with what they go away with, number one, they're not subject to the SEC, they're subject to the insurance commissioner. Okay, insurance in and of itself is an extremely high commission operation. So the insurance commissioner has no problem when companies sell these annuities that are literally paying them 30-35% commission. I started asking this girl, and she's never heard of the radio show. Like I said, she's in Arizona and was referred here by another guy. But I started to ask her questions. She has nothing. I mean, absolutely no clue what she has, why she has it, what it pays, anything. And so she was talking about getting in the mouth, and then I talked to her later, and she called me later and said, well, I talked to my financial advisor, and he said that I should just put the money in annuities, of course. Well, annuities have, and now I've split the conversation because metals versus annuities. Annuities used to be a loan to an insurance company. That's what they were. They were an insurance-based bond. But what happened was they made them tax-exempt because insurance companies' purposes were supposed to be the well-being of the general public. I have my background in, as I mentioned, applied mathematics and statistics specifically to become, as I got out of college, an actuary. I did all the statistical and probability analysis for insurance companies. I've also been insurance licensed in every way, shape, and form that applied to it. brief stay in the United States. When I went through the actuarial training program, I did general liability auditing, and then I went into banking, and But I can tell you straight up that doing the calculations on annuities, I was appalled. I was like, what? You know, these things are absolutely fully functionally profitable for the insurance company. And then I'm talking to this guy, and she goes, well, he's telling me, and we're talking $500,000, well, he's telling me I need to, just quote her definition was give him the money and let him pay me a monthly fee or a monthly income. That's called annuitization. When you deal with an insurance company and they annuitize your annuity, they say, we're going to pay you. It's just the grand assumption. Just say, hypothetically, you had $500,000 in one. Say $100,000, that's more realistic for the opportunity. And they lie, they say, we're going to pay you 5% interest. Or say, oh, they don't say interest, they say, let's say they said we'll pay you 5%, and you're like, well, that ain't bad for my retirement, guaranteed for 20 years. Okay? They're not paying you 5% interest. They're paying you 5% of your principal holding each year. Here's what I mean. And then you never get your principal holding back, by the way. Once you annuitize, it's theirs. And if you die, it's all theirs. And they use amortization tables and everything to calculate, you know, when you die, so they come out even more profitable. Let's say you had $100,000 and they claimed that they were going to give you a 5% return. Well, you take $100,000 times 5%, that's $5,000. But that's not how interest is calculated. Anyway. So they just give you $5,000 a year for 20 years. You just took your $100,000. You can't get it back. And they're going to pay you 5% of that each year for 20 years. This is actually the truth. Over 20 years, you get your 100 grand back. Well, if you haven't been paying attention, first of all, you don't ever hand your money off to someone like that. Secondly, we have inflation. In fact, we have hyperinflation. This is 2022. 20 years ago was 2002. What you could buy with $100,000 in 2002 and what you can buy now has nothing in common. Hyperinflation has consumed the dollar. So, first of all, letting someone do that, it's sad, it's dishonest. I'm telling you, these people that have the, if they're under the umbrella of insurance, which is whole life, term life, you know, I don't keep up with all the terms. They have universal life, they have all these fancy names. I have dealt with people many, many times that have sunk their money into this stuff because it sounds and feels good. I had a doctor that had $1.8 million in one of these messes, and they told him, well, you've got this great annuity, we're going to put you in the NASDAQ fund. And then the guy says, the NASDAQ, at the time, has been producing a 7% per year return. Quote. They tell the guy he's, quote, in the NASDAQ fund. So what do you think he expects to get as a return on his money? If you said 7%, you're correct. But their NASDAQ fund doesn't pay 7%, it paid 1%. The NASDAQ had produced 7 at the time. But his fund produced 1 and they called it the NASDAQ fund. They get away with this because they're not regulated by the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission. And I'm not telling you that the SEC is the end all. But they're a lot more stringent. If you deal with someone who's insurance broker or licensed and they're pushing you all these different directions, they can go to lunch with you, they can tell you whatever they want. Whatever they want. And then, when you sign up, they actually have a checkbox. This drives me nuts. If I had time, I would fight my tail off to change these terrible laws. The insurance lobby is megabucks. Mega. They have huge lobby power. Their documentation actually has a little line down near the signature that says, I've agreed not to receive any of my paperwork. That basically discloses what I'm doing. So they sign you. You believe in, you know, Dean Litter or whatever his name is that's selling you the insurance. And you walk away and you think, okay, it's not insurance, it's an annuity, but it's insurance related. A lot of times they say, well, this is a great annuity because in addition to the annuity, you get life insurance and you get disability, whatever. They'll pack that baby full. They're taking the insurance premium out of your investment. And I could go on and on all the varieties that this shows its face in. But I'm just telling you, that is not where you begin. It is a poor investment. In addition, they have what's called surrender charges. The doctor I mentioned a minute ago that had spent $1.8 million and it was like Eagle something, I don't remember the company. He had Yo-Yan. He had a 20% surrender charge. Year 2, 19.5%. Year 3, 19%. Year 4, 18.5%. Year 5, 18%. In other words, the surrender charges started at 20%, dropped by 0.5% per year, over a 40-year term. So this doctor was in his 60s, and I said, explain this to him, he goes, well, I had an uncle, I said, I did the amortization and the calculation, and I used some mortality tables and stuff, and he said, well, I had an uncle who lived to be 105, which is absolutely incredible, congratulations, I hope you got those genetics, and he goes, if I live to be 105, I will come out ahead on this. Now here's the deal. When I said they calculate, they do a mortality or amortization, they know on average bell curve, it's actually a chi-square curve. Bell curve occurs, but chi-square just drops off because certain people, you know, their population doesn't have an outlier that goes to 140. So he said, if I live to 105, I'll come out ahead on this. So they calculated it based on amortization and mortality, your age. So if you're 65, they run it, say, a 20-year payout. And then tell you what they can pay you per year, assuming, you know, the average mortality for a male in America is like 75. So they run it to 85 to calculate the payment. Well, and then they said, well, you could live that long if you live a lot longer than that. But the fact of the matter is, if you think of the shape of a bell curve, as you pass that median line of 75 years old, your likelihood of remaining alive, your mortality, it drops off rapidly. You get my point. And they have a calculated stretching layout. If you happen to go 105, there's ways they continue to make payments. And upon death, they eliminate a beneficiary. And if some of this is going over your head, I apologize. But maybe, and I can keep going, but I'll waste my time. Don't buy annuities. Don't buy any insurance-related products. And as soon as I finish this, in the next day or two, I'm going to get a couple phone calls from some guys, or ladies, or whatever, or guys, or whatever, that are doing this. And I'm just telling you, I know money, I know the Bible, I know God, but my background is, like I said, actuarial science, highly mathematical, highly analytical, always that guy that dug 6 feet deeper than I should, and my boss is going, why do you care? Because I'd be like, hey, the yield on this program is, it's insufficient, it's not producing what you think it is, and blah, 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 and I had a couple bosses that were like, why do you care? They're like, just show up and do your job and shut up. I've never been built that way, folks. And I'm like, what do you mean, why do I care? Because I care. Because I want to be the best employee for the company I can. That's the way I always was. And I was stuck in corporate America for a number of years. I did very well. I made my way up. But it was always my performance that I made my big mouth. They tolerated my big mouth because I always produced numbers that were record-breaking, typically. And I'm sorry to sound like a bosses, that's just the facts. That, in the days of yore, was the only way to really circumvent the bureaucracy of corporate America. So, you know, without further ado, please just respect my opinion on that. I get sometimes in a comparative conversation, and the one thing I say is, all I can tell you is God led me to get a set of credentials that's pretty solid when it comes to financial decision making. I've been Series 6, 7, and 24 licensed, which is stocks, bonds, and equities, and even REITs, real estate investment trusts, and whatnot. I had to do all that banking, and my whole background made it easy, and that's just the world that I came from. And so I'm going to say, I'm going to leave it there and say, avoid annuities. The other thing, folks, is you know, the stock market, it's all over the board. When you watch the Dow up 500, down 500 today, it is not, quote, the market. That is the Dow. It's 30 out of 2 million plus NYSE OTC stocks. And they manipulate them. They gave the Fed permission to infuse cash into these stocks. Reagan started what was called the PPT, the Plunge Protection Team. And then it has since been picked up and ran with. And I'm sorry to admit, but under a Trump, I think it was Trump, under Trump they got permission to, quote-unquote, for the Fed to invest their money in public stock. That's a conflict of interest. Because the Fed has unlimited quantities of money, they can make it like it's going out of style, and by the way, they do. So they can just create currency and pump it into these corporations, making you think that the market is at a certain level, but it's really not. So why do I go into all this? Today, the Fed jack rates another 0.75%. This is one of the most egregious times in history. There is a number of scenarios you can look at. So they claim that as they jack interest rates up, it reduces inflation, okay? But let me tell you the contrast. The real definition of inflation is an increase in the money supply. Here we go. It's an increase in the money supply. That's the definition of inflation. What does everybody think inflation means? Everyone thinks inflation is an increase in the price of goods, or product sources, whatever you want to call it. So if I say inflation to you, you think of a house going from $300,000 to $500,000, of a car from going from $30,000 to $40,000, or whatever. That's what you think is inflation. That is the product of inflation. That is a symptom of inflation. Inflation is an increase in the money supply. When you increase the money supply, what happens? You have an influx of currency and eventually ending in an excessive amount. How are they infusing currency into our society? Well, Trump started a small degree of it by, in one case, there's a different kind of inflation, which is there's been the currency produced, a lot of it ended up overseas. Trump created the Repatriation Act, where he told these mega C corps, you can bring your money back into the United States. We will only charge you a 10% tax, which was a great plan. It was the ultimate ideal plan if there was no such thing as fiat currency from the Federal Reserve, because it would infuse wealth into our community, and hypothetically all the currency had been previously created, so hypothetically it shouldn't create inflation because it's not an increase in the money supply. But what Trump did is alongside that he continued what we call the deficit, the budgeting that exceeds tax revenue, and so we had an increase of currency production and economic infusion alongside the repatriation. So we did get the effect of inflation in that situation, right? But what Biden's doing, and you may not be familiar with this, he is doing everything in his power to produce currency beyond your wildest dreams, just pumping out every reason, every excuse, there's a chance. I think what used to happen was that people believed that they were going to get, you know, handouts from the Democratic government. And I think that there's a high likelihood all this all-payer student loans off thing really is Milwaukee. It's not true. It's not going to happen. But what he's doing is trying to earn votes. He's deceiving. He's deceptive. And, you know, when you listen to me, and if you listen to CNN and MSNBC, I suspect most of my listeners don't do that. It's super frustrating to try to talk to people I know who are quote-unquote liberal, and it's really overwhelming because they're not seeking the truth. I spoke to a gentleman yesterday who is this, a principal in a major multi-billion-dollar company, and I sent him that video of the real AnthonyFauciMovie.com and said, hey, watch it. My thing is, what do you got to lose? When I sort of got on this trail of truth-seeking, it started back in, 2004, 5, whatever. I heard this conspiracy stuff about 9/11, and you gotta remember, I started out as a red, white, and blue. You know, I call it a banker boy. And then I started my business, and I dealt in rare coins. I wasn't a huge participator in precious metals distribution. I hadn't completely figured things out at that point. Although I did move a lot of product out of Milwaukee, and this friend of mine from San Francisco, who's third generation, he's actually a red-blooded American, he's libertarian, and, but, you know, 94% of their beliefs are accurate. It's the belief, the libertarian belief, that we need to be semi-isolationist, that I don't agree with. I believe when we see the civil rights abuse of nationals of other countries or people, and I just believe that it's the big guy on the block's job to go. And, you know, for example, I live in the country now, but when I lived in a neighborhood, if I saw something unjust going on down the street, I would walk down there. I didn't hold everyone in, but I'd walk down and infuse myself. And one of the greatest things I love doing, you gotta remember from a young age, I got dropped off in a little room in 8th grade, and then I'd bounce through group homes, and I was always very much on my own, and I had no advocate. I mean, I went through, I got shoved on the weekends, and this boy's home where the guy, the fat boy's guy was molesting the boys, and in one case he tried with me, which was a long, hard process, and God protected me. But I had no one to back me up, so then I heard rumors from outside of that home that people knew he was molesting the boys, and I took it upon myself to go to the social worker that was supposed to be my, I wouldn't call it an advocate, it was just in charge of me, you know, I was a child and a hog that he had to manage, you know. And when I told him what was going on, he blew me off. He was like, oh, fine, we're never going to leave. He taught me how to have safety. And, but this is the early 80s. So, I was, you know, thinking that caused more issues, and it put me in a bad position. My point is, I had no advocate, so I love to be that guy that defends the innocent, as the Bible says. When somebody, I'll tell you, when there's something spiritual, if someone's attacking an individual, and I want you to understand this, because you have the ability, all it takes is your mouth. Worst case scenario, it takes you to have the ability to put your arms up and protect yourself from an attack. That's the most extreme one. Right? But the thing is you need, if you see, if there's a spiritual connection sometimes you never know, especially with abuse words. Stockholm Syndrome, I don't want to call it. My guy is inappropriately treating a lady or a man or whatever it is. There's something spiritually cleansing about an outsider coming in and protecting the innocent because he has no skin in the game, no chips in that game, and I don't know what it is, but the level of authority and control is powerful. Do not ever be in a situation where you see any kind of severe harsh injustice being portrayed or played out or whatever on a person and pass it up. As a child of God, God sets us free, and if we're free, he said he gave us the spirit of boldness, not of timidity, not of cowardice. Boldness and strength and truth and honor and power. That's who we're called to be. We need to be the protectors of the innocent and the oppressed. God says, you're orphans and widows, and you know, these are the people that we step up and we watch out for. Widows especially, folks, don't you ever take advantage of a widow. If a woman has lost her man, God forbid, you take care of them. You look at, you don't need to be an annoyance. And I'll tell you another thing, I've been through this, talked to one of my great friends in the industry died this year, and his wife is still around. And I also have relatives who have been through this. And she has needs, she's a widow. He owned a large property, and he had a lot of different things going on. She's trying to figure things out. But the hardest thing is people will go, well, just tell me if you need anything. I will, you know, tell me what you need. You can't do that. What you have to do is you see a need, and you meet it. You step up to the plate, and you meet that need. You don't need their permission to do that, right? Whether it's mowing the lawn, or chasing paint in the barn, or cleaning something off, or helping pack stuff up, or whatever it is. You take care of her. You don't ask, you do. And I understand in this society our time's all tied up and everything. But our investment, our time, is an asset, a commodity, that is given to us by our God. It's such a blessing. This is why we have birthdays. You know, like, why birthdays? I know, like, the whole reason why we don't celebrate this or that or the other. Because they think it's like self-glorification or idolatry. But what is the point of a birthday? It's to celebrate your day of birth. The day that God made you. I mean, we're so accustomed to living our lives, we don't even realize that our lives in and of themselves are a gift. Some people mess them up, some people make mistakes. Back to the prison and jail thing. You have these crazy liberal Democrats saying, release all these criminals. Well, I disagree. Wholeheartedly, there's people out there that are bent. I would create an actual rehabilitation program. But there are people in jails and prisons that actually don't belong there. We call it non-violent crime. Possession of marijuana. I know people out there are there at that club. Yeah, the drug war is a force. If you don't believe it, why is it then as the funding increases, the war gets bigger? I mean, there's people that just, they didn't have bad intentions. Prison is for malice, okay? What is malice? Bad behavior. Negative, intentionally destructive behavior. Rape. Robbery. Of course. Murder. Theft. Intentional theft. If someone impulsively grabs something that doesn't belong to them one time, they don't belong in the hostel. You ever heard that before? The Cobra Hotel. We used to say, if you do that, you're gonna be in the BH for an OT. And at the big house for one time. But the bottom line is, prison is for true criminals. What is a true criminal? Someone who has malice and a lack of respect for other people. When people breach your space, okay? You're walking down the street and your mug hit red, done. That guy's done. He can't function appropriately in society. Lock him up to protect society. But minor infractions just don't merit this. And there are judges that have overdone this severely. We're coming up on a point with 87,000 IRS agents that are armed. What have they got in mind for that? You know, show me the person, I'll show you the crimes, what that's going to be. They're going to be looking hard and fast. Another reason, get your money in hard, liquid, private, anonymous assets. I mean, seriously, do it now. You want to wait, procrastinate. I was talking about the girl in Arizona yesterday, you know, and I'm pretty sure, you know, she'll make the right choice. But listening to someone with a child like mine who took a 2-day class and a 2-hour test and doesn't have an extensive financial background is not going to produce well. Now I'm going to jump into something that's a little overhead, but I'm going to try to go fast. Interest rates are climbing. Today the Fed jack rates another 3/4, okay? Inflation is on the rise. I told you they're going to do this. Why? Because in 2023, you can prepare yourself for what's called the CBDC. Central Bank Digital Currency. In addition to this, before they introduced this, guess what central banks are doing? Well, only have one goal, at a faster pace than ever before. Central Banks, this is from November 1st of 2022, yesterday. Gold purchases from central banks reached a record high during the last quarter. Revealed the World Gold Council's quarterly report, but the caveat was that the big players remain anonymous. How about that? Central banks get to remain anonymous when they're messing with COMEX futures, buying gold, it's all a big secret. You can tell by the size of their transactions. I used to watch the precious metals COMEX exchanges. Even though they have like 700,000 ounces of silver in reserve, they would allow central banks to do 20 million ounce exchanges or 20 million ounce contracts. But they couldn't back it up. If the central bank called those contracts due, which you can do with a futures contract, that's what the Hunt brothers did in 1980. That's what Warren Buffett tampered with a little bit in 2006. If somebody calls that due, it's a mess. If they go, okay, I want a contract, it's not performing the way I expected. I can buy that metal. Of course, you have to pony up the money to buy the metal, but they don't have it in stock. So it says the big players are being anonymous. A total of nearly, get this, 400 tons was bought by central banks in the third quarter. The most on record in history. This also marked a 300% jump from the same period just 1 year ago. The World Gold Council said in its Gold Demand Trends Report released on Tuesday. Year-to-date, central banks bought 673 tons, more than any other time in history when the U.S. dollar, and it says even including 1967, when the U.S. dollar was backed by gold, and then we get into Turkey, Uzbekistan, and Qatar, small countries, right? Money-wise, emerged as some of the largest known buyers. But there was still a sizable unknown contingent. The level of official sector demand in quarter three is the combination of steady reported purchases by central banks and a substantial estimate for unreported buying. The World Gold Council's report pointed out, you know, it goes on about the countries, it says countries note for not reporting their gold purchases regularly include China and Russia. Not all official institutions publicly report their gold holdings, but they do so with a lag. It's also worth noting that while metals focus suggests purchases occurred during quarter three, it's possible they may have started earlier in the year, which I'm sure that it goes on about. So basically, the bottom line is, the big players, the boys that be, the real, they're loading up their gold. So, if we have a central bank digital currency coming, we have interest rates rising, we have an unstable economic market we're not completely sure about. How do we determine what decision to make? Well, if the central banks are loading up their money, what are they telling you? Do they have faith in the fiat currency? I would call combat fear and faith, a lack of faith in the fiat. The fiat means by decree, it's paper money whose value is dictated and determined by decree. Someone says it is, therefore it is. So you have to understand that it's if the makers and controllers of our monetary system are bailing out our monetary system, what should you be doing? And you know, I talked about annuities earlier. Let me tell you something. I've been around money for decades. Conseco, I had a friend that was a regional manager for Green Tree Credit. They specialized in manufactured housing in the 90s. They sound great to you, but his stock options were worth $2.8 million. I sat down with him and I said, but cash out half and take gold. He said, oh no, Kevin, I already have a strategy. When this passes $3 million, I'm retiring. He was like 30 years old, a few beautiful little daughters, wonderful wife. I met with him for lunch on Thursday. Things were getting weird in the market. Green Tree Credit gets bought by Conseco, which is the largest AAA-largest and AAA-plus-rated insurance company in the world. They temporarily pull the stock off the public market, so it's no longer public. The SEC and whoever come in, insurance commissioner, they've been cooking the books, having mergers and acquisitions to hide their losses, cooking the books for the internet, which this was all prior to 9/11. 9/11 was a farce. A huge portion of that was based on over 100 companies under severe investigation by the IRS and FBI for all kinds of fraud and deception. If you watch The Big Short, that's just a very teeny tip of the iceberg. That's why they crashed World Trade Center Building number 7. That's why the IRS, FBI, they had all their records there and in World Trade Center 1. So down they go, over 100 major Wall Street public C-corps got off. Conseco prior to this gets shut down, bankrupt, it's over. I mean, I was here in Spokane. There was a huge non-conforming mortgage lender, Metropolitan Mortgage, Metropolitan Insurance. They went under. Rock solid. People had money with them forever. Bottom line, folks, paper. It's old paper. And I'm telling you, with everything you got going on in the CBDC coming up, they want you to go vote. Listen, who's they? It's the Marxists. If you're broke, you need them. If you went broke today, and the government said, we got a program, here's $2,700 or whatever it is, you're highly likely to collect that. So the central banks are loading up on gold. Our Bible tells us gold shows up in Genesis 2. God calls it time, good, the best. The best of the best of the best, Genesis 4 is silver. We've got the Ark of the Covenant built out of pure solid gold. We've got the Exodus, which came before that, but he tells them, get all their gold and silver, and guess what they did? They gave them all their gold and silver. We have Israel built up, Solomon takes charge, God blesses him with his mind, builds the second temple, they call it the Temple of Solomon, solid gold. There was so much silver, they said, it was in the streets as stones, because Solomon was sending ships out all over South America and elsewhere. The mines of Ophir were bringing back tons of gold and silver. He had excessive amounts of it. That's how God blessed him. God blessed our patriarchs, Abraham, even Job, you know, Isaac, Jacob, you name it, with gold and silver. Then you move forward, and it's always relevant to your heart spirit, but you go forward, Christ first gift, gold and silver, gold, frankincense, and I'm sorry, you go forward from there, and then you go back and forth. You get scripture from the duration of our Bible that says on the final day, the day of wrath, people will cast their gold and silver in the streets. Why would I read that one day after multiple times I got hit with a wind that was like, what does this mean, Kevin? And I said, this means, Lord, that you're telling us it lasts till the end. How do I know that? Well, heaven's covered in gold. He tells us it's bedecked with gold and silver and precious stones. Why not stick with what God says is good, but don't think, you know, our industry will take good care of you and we'll build a wonderful $8 billion portfolio. There's about four. We do it well, we've done it a long time, we're good at it. But there, at this point, it's a beautiful buying opportunity. The metals prices are severely subdued. You can buy metals right now at the most opportune level I've seen in a substantial period of time. What do you have to lose when you buy metals, folks? Precious metals-based assets, okay? There is no fear of risk because you own it. It's real. It's not going away. It's solid as a rock. Paper can be gone in a flash. There's no exception. People are like, yesterday I had a person ask me, but this financial guy, the insurance guy, said to this guy, well, how do you spend your silver when things get hard? Okay, let me ask you something. There's a simple answer to that. But how do you spend your all-state annuity when things get hard? Her annuity doesn't overture until 2025. If she takes it before then, she's got extreme surrender charges. In addition to the fact there's fees, there's a mega complication. The annuity is designed for her to continue rolling over until she annuitizes it, and they take all of her money and she never sees it again except for these paper payments. So, the question, how do I spend my gold and silver if things get tough? First of all, why are you comfortable with not even a good piece of paper? Why are you comfortable with a computer statement that says you have X amount of cash? Where is it? Nowhere. They deposit it in your bank and they just say you have it. There's nothing there. So here's the answer to that regularly asked question. When you have wealth and other people don't, number one, that's how you become wealthy. That's what God says. The wicked will store up for the righteous, okay? So you have value, precious metals, you have wealth, and they don't. That immediately puts you in an advantageous position, okay? Obviously, you can come in and liquidate at any time here, and there's a whole series of facts behind that. I know a guy who's the number one precious metals dealer in the world, and he moves underground metals in mass quantities from a very powerful position, politicians. So what relevance is that, Kevin? They don't ever mess with the metals. They let us have it. They don't. You never see legislation come out against the metals. But I've talked about the hurricane that started in 92 in Japan, where they were cut off from the rest of the world for 5 weeks. The most southwestern island in Japan. Milton Friedman did a write-up on it, where after 1 week, the consumers ran out of cash. The vendors had it all, no more money. So they went to gold, silver, diamonds, etc. But people weren't going to the grocery store. If you've been to an Spokane wind store, ice store, we just had COVID. You know, you name it, 9/11. The grocery stores, excuse me, empty out in 24 hours. They're empty. You're not going to the grocery store and spending silver. They created an import case scenario, a money exchange system. There were 5 different money changers, so you had capitalistic competition. As long as the government's not involved, that keeps everyone honest and people can exchange. They were buying a side of beef, a rack of lamb, bags of rice, bags of potatoes, beans, things you needed to just live and get by. And this was during a rash, harsh storm that continued for 5 weeks. God said it's money, folks, it is. I'm just telling you, I didn't, as usual, intend to go this route so hard today. Coins plus 4 number 5 0 9 4 4 4 0 0 4 4. I'm telling you. I don't care if you have $100 or $1,000 or $10,000 or $100,000, you need to preserve it in God's money now. It's not an investment, it's money. Great evening, God bless, have a great one.